This is Digital Story Podcast number 517, February 2nd, 2016. Today's theme is, Should You Buy Used Gear? I'm Derek Story. Now that digital cameras have reached a basic plateau of capability, I find myself buying behind the curve more often. What does that mean? Well, it's a bit like shopping for a new car, or shall I say a used car. Last year's model with a few thousand miles on it can be purchased at a tremendous savings, and I'm finding the same is true with cameras. I'll explore this in greater depth in today's top feature. Gently used, please. So I'm back from Austin. I'm in the studio here in Santa Rosa. And I hope you forgive me for holding the podcast a little bit last week, but I wanted to honor the embargo and I wanted to break the story about the Pen F on the podcast. This week, we're back on schedule. And, you know, like I said, I try to stay on schedule no matter what, but I did not want to hold that story for a week. It would have killed me. Anyway, working with the Pen F in Austin also got me thinking about used gear and how that has become as much a part of how I acquire photo equipment as, you know, buying new. And I think part of it is because the technology has stabilized so much. Last year's models really are just as good as this year's models, maybe missing a bell or a whistle, but for the most part, performing very, very well. And my OMD EM5 Mark II is a perfect example. I bought it last January, a year ago, with the half grip, which cost, I don't know, $119 or something. I bought the package for $1,229. That's the OMD EM5 Mark II. It's the camera that I carry with me most of the time. It's the camera that I had with me in Texas, which I'll talk more about in a second. A year later, I am just as pleased with it as the day that I bought it. But if I were to purchase the exact same body right now, I could buy it new on Amazon, and I have a link to it. I could buy it new for $899. Brand new for $899. And I could get a very gently used model for $799. That is quite a savings over a camera that I consider state-of-the-art still. And I referred to Austin earlier, and the reason why is because, so I took the EM5 Mark II with me to Austin. I shot with it, you know, before we started doing the formal testing, had a great time. Then I had the Pen F, and I shot with the Pen F the whole time. Loved it. Loved that camera. But then I had to turn it back in. So then for the last bit, I was with the EM5 Mark II again. And I loved them both. It was fantastic. Now, the Pen F is going to be, what, $1,199, something like that. A great camera. If I had the money right now, I would buy it. I would, seriously. But I don't. I don't have it right now. What I could do, if I needed a camera, I could get the EM5 Mark II for that $899 I told you about. And other than being a 16 megapixel, other than the 20 megapixel that we get with the new Pen F, it's pretty darn close. And I just find myself doing this more and more, buying behind the curve. We can do that now. We don't have to buy a camera when it first comes out. Now, I know camera manufacturers don't want me to say this, and that doesn't mean that I won't buy a new camera when it first comes out. Sometimes you're just ready, the stars align, and you do that. I'm just saying you don't have to. You don't have to. You can wait. And I have seen camera prices drop on all sorts of cameras that I wanted very badly. Another perfect example was in December, I talked about the Panasonic GM5. Now, I wanted the Panasonic GM1 when it first came out, didn't buy it, in part because of the cost, in part because it didn't have an electronic viewfinder. Then, in November 2014, they came out with a GM5, they announced it, I think it shipped in December, they announced the GM5, basically the same body, just ever so slightly bigger, but it had the electronic viewfinder. Oh, gosh. I go, oh, man, you guys are killing me. This beautiful, cute little compact camera that takes all of my Micro Four Thirds lenses, and it has an electronic viewfinder, and it has, you know, custom function buttons, but it costs too much. It was selling for, I believe, $899 with the kit zoom. And I just didn't have $899 to spend on a camera that I wasn't going to use all the time. Obviously, there are some instances where it would be perfect, but it wasn't going to be a camera that was going to be my regular shooter. So I passed on it. I waited. I said, well, maybe the price will come down. So less than a year later, the camera is being offered at a couple places, and I put the links on Twitter and Facebook and so forth. I always do when I find a good deal. The very same camera, brand new, for $459. $459, same lens, brand new, in the box, ready to go. Warranty cards, the whole deal. Now that I could afford. That I could afford for a camera that I'm going to use sometimes and not all the time. So I didn't even have to go used on that. All I had to do was just wait a bit. Now it's discontinued. I'm sure they're going to come out with a new model. I'm sure the new model will be wonderful, but you know what? I'm really happy. I'm really happy with the GM5 that I have. I just had to wait a little bit. There are two components to this. One is not buying right when it first announced, and the other is then going used, going gently used. So let's talk about the used part. Because that was really kind of the lead of this all, which is, should you buy gently used? Here's what my experience has been. I buy used, and then I'm also an Amazon reseller. So I sell used too. I move inventory through. My experience has been with used gear very, very positive. Extremely positive as a buyer. As a buyer. Now, I have bought used on Amazon. I've bought used from B&H, from Adorama, from Craigslist, from eBay, and from Etsy, from all of those sites. And I've had good experiences on all of them. I also bought a used component for my Contax G1 on a KEH camera in Georgia. They shipped me the wrong part. It wasn't even... Bless their hearts, it wasn't even close to what I had ordered. I ordered a Contax GA1 adapter that allows me to use Zeiss SLR lenses on the G1. They sent me a G adapter to Sony cameras. Like I said, wasn't even close. Didn't even look like, you know, the same. I look at this thing when I open it up and go, what is this? I called them, got a return number, sent it back to them. They gave me the label. I didn't have to pay for shipping. And they've already refunded the money to my PayPal account. So even when it didn't work out, it was still okay. I mean, it was a little aggravating, but it wasn't horrible. Of all these instances, all these places that I've bought used gear, the one thing I will say that I'm a little bit hesitant about is buying outside of the U.S. on eBay. That's been the one area, and I tell you, for the gear that I like, which is the Contax, you know, G lenses and camera bodies and accessories, as part of my film project, there's a lot of that inventory in Japan. Oh, they have so much of it, and there's not nearly as much of it here in the U.S. So in a couple instances, I attempted purchases from Japanese sellers. And in all honesty, it just didn't go a way that I was comfortable. The communication was difficult, you know, in terms of English. I don't write Japanese, and their English wasn't very easy to understand. Expectation for turnaround time, like I would pay for expedited shipping. 3-4 days would go by, and they hadn't even shipped yet. There's not a lot of clarity around, you know, any additional taxes that may get added on, you know, with the item coming from Japan. And the whole thing, you know, just it just didn't feel great. And in both cases, after a few days, I ended up canceling the order. And there was no harm done. And I ended up, you know, buying from U.S. sellers, where it all went very smoothly. U.S. sellers on eBay. So I would say that was the only thing. And, you know, those probably would have gone through. I have bought parts from Japan and Hong Kong and South Korea before. So, you know, it can work and, you know, they do get here and all that kind of stuff. But it didn't have the same sort of, it didn't move at the pace and the communication wasn't as good. And communication, I think, is an important thing when you're buying used, because I am one of those guys that will write the seller. And, you know, there is the capability to do that, especially when you buy on Amazon and eBay, you buy, you know, Amazon used gear. You have a button that says, you know, contact the seller directly. And it's nice because it goes through the Amazon system and everything. So they're seeing what's going on and keeping track of it and everything. And you can ask questions. You can ask questions about, you know, when they say, well, it shows somewhere. You can say, well, you know, what exactly, where does it show where? You know, is it on the glass? Is it on the barrel? You know, if you're talking about lens, things like that. And I tell you, some of these sellers on both Amazon and eBay are great. They'll write back the next day and they'll tell you what you want to know. They're not pressuring you for the sale. They're being, you know, straightforward on the whole deal. When I get the items from these people that are selling used gear, every time they have been packaged nicely, you know, wrapped in bubble wrap, you know, very good care. For the most part, people are rating very accurately. In fact, I think for the most part, people are rating down one than what it really is. And I actually learned this on Amazon, too. I'll have a camera. In fact, I just sold to one of our virtual camera club members my OMD EM10. And, you know, it is, in all honesty, it's in excellent condition. You look at this camera and it comes in the box and it's the original wrapping, the whole deal. You cannot tell that it was used at all. But I rated it as very good. And I tend to do that just to make sure that the buyer is very happy. I figure if they buy it and are happy with the price at very good, then they're going to really love what they receive in the mail. And I think most sellers that I'm dealt with as a buyer are that way too. Most of these people are very passionate about their photography. They love their gear. They take good care of it. And, you know, they're moving stuff through. When they upgrade in one area, then while the piece that they had still has value, they move it through. And this presents tremendous buying opportunities for you. It really does. It's something very much worth considering. So here are my final recommendations on this. I think I've sort of done my pitch that I think it's worth trying, especially if you're on a tight budget. I would also consider moving gear out. I mean, you don't want to just like keep collecting stuff. Some stuff is collectible, some stuff isn't, right? Obviously your favorites you want to hang on to, but I don't think you need to keep everything. You also might want to consider moving stuff through too. And I've talked about this before, you know, make sure you hang on to the box, make sure you keep all the original accessories, all that kind of stuff. That's a big deal when someone's buying your thing, right? What to look for if you're buying used gear. First of all, look at the seller rating. And when they're on Amazon, when they're on eBay, all that, they have seller ratings. Those are usually pretty accurate. I know as a reseller on Amazon, Amazon is very strict about all the aspects of the transaction. They're on me. And, you know, they keep an eye on from the time I receive the order to the time I actually ship it. They pay attention to all the feedback, you know, everything. They're how I rate stuff, the whole deal. So those seller ratings, if someone has a good seller rating on a major site, that's worth noting. And it's usually real. It's usually worth considering. The other thing I look for, if I can get it, is, you know, packaging. Do they have the original box? Do they have all the accessories? You know, all that kind of stuff. If they do, that's a very good sign. Usually people that hang on to that stuff take very good care of their gear, and probably what you'll get in the mail, you'll be very happy with. So take a look at that. Also take a look at, you know, what they say turnaround time is going to be. because I think the faster the transaction moves, the better it is for everyone. You know, I try to turn stuff around right away. The people that I buy from tend to turn it around right away too. When it's going at that pace, that's a good sign. That means everyone is serious about what's going on and you're probably going to have a good experience. And then also, you know, look at what happens if the thing goes south. Can you get your money back? Can you return it? All that sort of stuff. And can you communicate with the seller? Again, you can ask the seller these questions. What happens if I don't like it? I asked one seller about a lens I bought, but he said, you know what? If you don't like it, you got 30 days to return it, and you know, for a full refund. Well, that's the kind of stuff you want to hear. To answer the question at the top of the podcast, should you buy used gear? I say yes. I say yes. I say the combination of buying used gear and then waiting a bit for prices to come down on new stuff is a very smart strategy. And we can get away with it these days because the technology is so stable and these cameras and lenses are so good. In the news, Nikon apologizes for awarding prize to digitally altered photo. And this was covered by DP Review. So last week, Nikon Singapore awarded a prize to an image that had been digitally altered. And you could tell by a highly visible white square around a plane that was inserted into the photo. It was very embarrassing. You've probably seen the shot by now. As a result, Nikon has released this statement, which I thought was a very good statement. That's why I'm covering it. We have heard your comments and feedback on this, and you are right. We should not compromise standards even for a casual photo contest. We have dialogued internally with the community and with our loyal fans, and the photographer has also posted his own views on this issue. We have made an honest mistake, and the rousing response from the community today is a reminder to us that the true spirit of photography is very much alive. Moving forward, we will tighten our image review process to avoid similar situations in the future. Thank you once again for all your responses today, for your humor, and most of all, your candor and honesty. We hope not to disappoint you in the future and continue to have your support. Now, I think that is a good statement. I do. Because, I mean, it was a brouhaha for sure. I don't know if you saw the shot. The photographer, it shot up through a structure, silhouetted, and right in the opening, there's a jet plane that was centered perfectly in the opening. You know, like, wow, what timing. Well, yeah, what timing was because he took the shot, and then he later inserted the plane that he got from somewhere else. And Nikon didn't spot it and awarded him a prize. But then the community went nuts about this because it was so easy to spot that, you know. So then people started running their own versions of the photo with all these, with Darth Vader head and, you know, all this kind of stuff. It was actually, you know, pretty entertaining. And, you know, so it was embarrassing. It was embarrassing for the photographer. He's apologized. It was embarrassing for Nikon Singapore. They've apologized, as you heard here, and everyone had a lot of fun with it. And, you know, it's the world of photography, and I thought you'd just get a kick out of this story. And also, to shine a light on Nikon, this is how I think you handle mistakes, and I thought they did a good job with it. Wood prints feel like art as well as look the part. So I'm going to revisit the wood prints from InkDot. And the reason why is that one of our virtual camera club members came over to the studio a couple days ago, Harold, and he wanted to see the wood print. I mean, he came over, he was in the area, and he specifically wanted to see this wood print that I was talking about. Now, I had told you before, you know, my wife's view on this, and she was expecting something else. What Harold was expecting was a little bit closer to what actually was there, but the conversation, I thought, was good in that he wanted to see the wood print because he wanted to kind of figure out the type of image that he wanted to print on. He's going to buy one. And so he had this really great landscape photo, I believe it was from his trip to Italy, that he's going to put on there. And again, you know, this is where the color of the birch wood comes through a little bit and, you know, adds another dimension to the image. You know, I thought it was going to be fantastic. I said, I want to see it when you get it. And that's the kind of thinking process that I think, you know, you want to go through on these sort of things, which is, you know, look at the samples on the website at inkdot.com. Take a look at it and then think about, you know, what cool photo would look good on this medium? Because really what you're doing is you're creating a whole piece of art, right? You're taking an element that you have captured already, a composition, and then you're further enhancing it by choosing the medium which you're outputting it on. And, you know, we do this with printing paper, and we do this with sizzle picks, and we do this with wood prints, with all this different media that we have access to. And to some degree, you know, even image framer comes into play here if we're going to put a frame on something to help us visualize that. So I highly recommend this. I mean, everyone that has seen the wood print just absolutely loves it. And you can go to the link that I have in the show notes, inkdot.com. You can get 25% off any wood print. And then I noticed I went to their site, and I shouldn't tell you this, because I think if you just go to the inkdot.com, don't go through the link, then they won't know that you came from me. But that's all right, because it looks like if you sign up for their newsletter, you can get 35% off your first order. Wow, that's even better. So maybe in the order notes, you can say, hey, I came from Digital Story. I just wanted the bigger discount. Don't put the part where you wanted the bigger discount. Just put the part that you came from the Digital Story. At any rate, you can get a discount on your first wood print. Find a cool image. I think you'll really enjoy it. Inkdot.com. They're sponsors of the Digital Story right now. And they have a tile on all the pages of the Digital Story, too. That'll take you right to the wood print page. Member quotes of the week. Intelligent comments culled from the Digital Story Facebook page. So, in regard to last week's Facebook post, A New Direction, the Olympus Pen F, it was actually last week's podcast, so the show notes for last week's podcast. I have two comments that I want to share with you about this. So, the first one was from Roger, and he wrote, "You've often made the point that in-camera processing, you put in parentheses JPEG and even special effects such as art filters, end of parentheses, have gotten to be really high quality and worth trying. And of course, the RAW is always there." Yeah, if you shoot RAW plus JPEG, you always have the RAW too. "I think it's worth also making the point that in-camera processing, using it while you are shooting, changes your thought process while you're shooting. It's like putting on a prime lens instead of a zoom. The black and white film filters in this camera, the Pen F, look like a lot of fun." And, you know, I think Roger's absolutely right that when I went to black and white monochrome setting number 2 on the Pen F, which is essentially Tri-X film, I thought differently during the shooting process. Now, shooting RAW plus JPEG, super fine on the JPEGs. The images look fabulous. I haven't even looked at the RAW files yet, because when I was shooting, I was thinking that I was shooting black and white film. I mean, that was the mode that I was in. So yes, I have the RAWs as a safety net with all the color and everything that you need. But those JPEGs are good. JPEGs out of these cameras, and especially Olympus cameras, are fabulous. And, you know, you just don't want to sell them short at all. And it changes the way you think while you shoot. Now, Mike added to this, great podcast, Derek. It is an amazing camera. And I can tell you for a fact that anyone interested in a San Francisco workshop should know I will have at least one there with me. The more you shoot, the more creative you get, is what I found over the last 3 months with it. It's very hard not to use when I'm shooting in the streets. So Mike is going to be co-leading the San Francisco workshop. And that's actually a segue into our next story here. So I'll just say that before I get to the segue itself, I've already done the segue, haven't I? I'll just say before I complete the segue that our Facebook community is tremendous. We have such great shooters there, a lot of good comments. I read them all. If you're a Facebook person at all, it's the place to go if you want to have the digital story experience all week, not just during the podcast. Facebook.com/thedigitalstory. All right, a few updates, and let's get back to the San Francisco street shooting workshop. So that workshop is sold out. That's what it says on the webpage. But I'm going to open up one more slot, and I'll tell you why I'm going to do it, because a few things have changed. Those of you that have already signed up, you should be very happy about what I'm going to be talking about here. First of all, Olympus has agreed to provide us with a handful of PenF kits. And we're going to get the Olympus PenF, both in silver and black models, with the 17mm f1.8 lens and the 14-42 Easy Pancake lens. Participants in the workshop will be able to use this camera, test this camera, play with this camera in the streets of San Francisco during the workshop. So this is really exciting. So essentially what I got to do in Austin, workshop attendees for the San Francisco street shooting workshop will get to do in April. And I just want to thank Olympus for this. And then Mike and I are both going to bring some extra lenses. Sounds like he'll have another PenF with him. And I think this is just going to be a blast. Big deal. And then along with that, LowPro has chimed in. They've been following all of this. They're going to provide a street shooting bag for every member of the workshop to take home. So you'll have it during the workshop, a bag from LowPro, and then you can take the bag home. Now, you can't take the PenFs home. You have to turn those back into me, but you will be able to keep the bag from LowPro. So this is in addition to everything else that we talked about, street shooting workshop. So I was so excited about all this. I want so many people to have this experience that even though we closed the workshop, we're gonna open it up to one more person. If you want to do that, if you want to sign up, just send me an email, Derrick@thedigitalstory.com, D-E-R-R-I-C-K. Say that you want to join us for the workshop, and I'll send you a registration form. First come, first served. And, this is just going to be a blast. I can't wait for April to get here. Okay, I also have an update about Out of Chicago. As I mentioned a few weeks ago, the Nimble Photographer Workshop's debuting in Chicago. First time it's going to happen in Chicago. And we had it on Friday, June 24th. Well, it sold out. It sold out pretty fast. Yeah, I'm really happy about that. I'm thrilled about that. And then we got some people on the wait list. So I talked to Chris there at Out of Chicago. And we're going to add on another day. So we're going to add on Thursday, June 23rd, we're also going to do the Nimble Photographer Workshop. So it's an opportunity for those of you that maybe went over to sign up for it and, you know, it was closed. We're going to open up Thursday. And in fact, if people that are signed up already for Friday want to move to Thursday and stuff, we can have some flexibility there. They can accommodate you that way too. So now we got workshop on both Thursday and Friday at the Out of Chicago conference. And then the conference itself starts the next day, June 25th. We're doing photo walks, panel discussions, portfolio reviews, all sorts of stuff. It's just going to be a blast. And if you're in the Midwest at that time, I think you would really have a good time at this conference. I have a link directly to it in the show notes. And early bird pricing is still happening for it. So not much longer. Out of Chicago, my workshops, June 23rd and 24th, and then the conference itself right after that. What a blast. Last week, I mentioned Gemini, the duplicate finder by Mac Paw. Simple, fast, safe to use. It's available. I have a link in the show notes right now. If you want to get rid of those duplicates that you have on your computer, if you have tons of versions, It's so smart. It'll allow you to keep the original. You have a chance to review stuff. Just, you can just clean things up. And especially if you're thinking about moving to a new photo application, you might want to clean a little bit of house first. MacPaw has the answer for you. It's called Gemini, the duplicate finder. And I want to thank the folks at Red River Paper. I had a conversation with them just yesterday, as a matter of fact. They're so behind the Out of Chicago thing, and we're working out the details. And I got to tell you, you know, these people are behind this podcast. They're behind getting me out there. We're working on some other things, too. You know, it's just really nice when a product and the people line up to really help us, what we're doing here. They have a beautiful Facebook page at facebook.com/redriverpaper, and they have a tile on all the pages of the digital story. And finally, a big thanks to Image Framer. I'm going to talk a little bit more about Image Framer next week in depth, but I've been playing with it for all sorts of different uses, and I'm thinking about now giving it a try to help me plan some framing to hang on the wall. I've been using it mainly for electronic, for creating postcards and things like that. So next week we'll talk a little bit more about that, but they are also supporting this podcast. They have a tile on all the pages of Digital Story. Make sure you go over and see them. All right, that's going to do it for this week. I'm just so excited about all this stuff. I really am. It's the start of a new year. Things are looking great. We have some wonderful events. The Facebook page is really rolling. The podcast, you know, you guys are really supporting this. I just feel like we're going to have a really terrific 2016. Come back and see me. I guess you won't see me next week. Come back and listen to me next week. I'll be here. I'll be on time again, hopefully from now on. Until then, have a great week. Bye-bye now.